but I didn't want to say it out loud.
Same. That's why I didn't say anything. Because
I
I
didn't want to
had the.
give life to
Our
it.
words have too much power.
Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
What are we talking to Adam freaking Silvera today after
What?
manifesting it a year over
For
a
like
year
a
ago?
year. Good Lord.
I have no chill.
Nope.
And I have a voice.
This is very exciting. Hopefully, I won't lose mine again this week. I
Unless,
am.
yeah. Hold it for mid-spiel.
I am Karen from Bake Expectations.
I'm Mandy of the Halo Knights.
Oh, welcome to the podcast, friends.
Hello.
In our timeline, it is March 28th. I can't believe it's the end of the month. That's insane.
Yeah.
And in y'all's timeline, it is April 5th.
This is so
Crazy.
weird. What did you do for April
Bonkers.
Fool's Day? Tell us. Because one year I made Oreo balls because Easter fell on April Fool's Day. I made Oreo balls, but some of them were Brussels sprouts.
I remember this.
So brought them to the family function, and I knew which, if they had green icing on them at any point, they had Brussels sprout in them. No one else knew. And I
Oh my
said, not a
gosh.
word. I
I
also
will
took,
be on vacation and there will be multiple teenagers, so I feel like I need to do something, but I'm
I
not
got an
quite sure.
idea. This one's kind of just annoying, but the twins took this to school and I took it to work. We took brownies to school and work. Brownies cut out of construction paper in a pan with foil. So take brownies to work. Well, you can't now because
Because
you're
it's
hearing this too
after the
late, but
fact, but
next year, take
now you'll
brownies
be
to work.
prepared for a year. All right, Mandy, what did you do this week in fangirling?
Not a whole lot. I read Infinity Kings by Adam Silvera. Can't tell you anything about it because it's the third book in a trilogy, but also we'll talk about it a little bit later on.
Yes.
I also read by listening to while I was redoing my bathroom, A Touch of Chaos by Scarlett St. Clair, which is book seven in a Hades and Persephone series that literally there's been years. I have been waiting years for this book. If you scroll back far enough in my TikTok, there is a TikTok of me like finishing this book. And at the time, it was supposed to be out like the following year. And so my TikTok is like, oh, you have to wait a year for this cliffhanger to be resolved. And then it ended up being like 4 years.
I remember that was on one of the early episodes of the podcast too, where you mentioned that, and I was like, oh,
Yeah.
I will
And
wait
it
on
is a bad cliffhanger. Like, it is so
that.
bad. Something happened in this. It's not a part of the plot of the book. This is not a spoiler at all. But my new favorite thing that I have ever seen in a book happened in the beginning of this one. And I text Karen about it. There were content warnings at the beginning
Oh,
that
yes.
gave the chapter number and a semi-spoiler free account of what happens, so that if you want to skip that chapter, you have the information that you need to know what happened without having to detail it. So it would be chapter, I think it was chapters 32 and 37. There is sexual assault or dubious consent, and they say it is not insanely descriptive. It is mostly fade to black, but you know exactly what is happening. If you need to take care of yourself, skip this chapter. Or skip, starting here. Amazing.
I love that. I
Like, I
love
love a
that.
trigger warning. I love, an author's note with all of the content warnings. Normalize putting the chapter number there and giving you how in depth it's going to be so that people can take care of themselves.
For sure.
Amazing.
Love
Amazing.
it.
So I had to shout that out. That's incredible. While I was listening to A Touch of Chaos, I painted and redecorated my bathroom. My husband was out of town, and when he goes out of town, I home improve.
Yes, you do.
So he'll be gone in a couple of weeks and I will be painting my bedroom in the same color. It's like a dark,
It's
earthy
luscious.
green. It's like, and once I finish the book, the soundtrack to the rest of the bathroom renovation was just Hozier because of his new EP is out. And yeah, you can tell that Hozier was involved in this bathroom. It looks like a Hozier bathroom. Lots of plants I'm going to try not to kill. Did extensive research to what plants can thrive in a bathroom with very little watering. And then I got some of those plants with this wick thing where you fill up a bucket that it's in and the wick will water it for you. So you only have to fill it up like once every few weeks, maybe. Maybe I will keep
We'll
these
see.
plants alive.
We'll see.
I have a dead thumb I got from my mother. I can buy it honestly. That was pretty much my week. My nieces had their military ball, so they had a little dance. They looked beautiful. You can't see pictures because
Way
I don't
too
want
grown
creeps
up.
on the internet seeing them, but yeah, they were so
Nice.
pretty.
They
They had
were.
fun. And I think that's about all I did. I didn't do a whole lot.
Okay.
It's been hectic around here.
That's
What'd
fair.
you do this week?
I finished Infinity Reaper, and I am happy to report that Wyatt indeed does enter the chat in this book.
That's
And
what I thought.
with as little spoilers as possible, based on Wyatt's job, there is absolutely 0% that he was that guy in the museum from the first
I
book.
was just like, was
But
that
I
like an
wouldn't have
Easter
known that.
egg?
Yeah. But I
Yeah, I
wouldn't have known
couldn't
that at the
remember.
time. But like, if you
Yeah.
know, you know. Like,
Yeah.
there's no way they were the same person.
When you
But
go
now I know.
in paying attention, because I didn't pay attention to this random guy in
Right. And
the
it just so
museum.
happened that like I had just finished Infinity Sun and met this guy, but like it was far enough away that I couldn't remember his name. So when
Yeah.
you said a British guy, I was like, "Oh." So,
Yeah.
but now, hindsight's 2020,
Yeah.
there is absolutely 0% that Wyatt could have possibly ever been that person.
Yeah.
So I finished Infinity Reaper, I finished Infinity Kings, neither of which I can talk about. I read The Colliding Worlds of Mina Lee by Ellen Oh. It is about a teenage girl she's like an artist, and she creates a webtoon that she just kind of, she draws it, she's really inspired, she draws it out, she bases it on like people in her life or who have been in her life. And then one day she finds herself waking up in the webtoon. And now the webtoon is like kind of going off script of what she had like planned out for it, and she has to figure out like, oh, actually these are like real people. It's kind of like, how do I ma fix everything, because I kind of messed everything up when I did my webtoon. And so she's
Yeah.
kind of so gotta solve like, oh shit, things are going down right now, and this is not what I intended, and this is really bad for these people. So how do we fix it? It was really good. I really enjoyed it, and yeah, I highly recommend it. It was a really quick read too.
Okay.
I read for its Trans Rights Readathon week this week, which I like did not know until like the day after it started, but I'm trying to get some in there. So I read Rosalind Palmer Takes the Cake by Alexis Hall. You've got Rosalind, who has entered herself onto a baking competition, Bake Expectations, and she on the way to the, so it's interesting, and I don't know if this is like how they do it in like real life, but they go like every weekend they'll go to like the place where it's recording, and then once they finish recording that week's episode, they go home for the week and then go back for the following weekend. And so before the first episode, she's heading there, and like everything that could go wrong goes wrong. Her train breaks down, she's stranded in the middle of nowhere, and she ends up being stranded with another contestant. And so they like kind of bond and make their way over to the place and kind of bond throughout, the experience. But then there's this other contestant who's like also kind of like super sweet, and so she's like got conflicting feelings, but she's like committed to this first guy because she met him first, kind of thing. And so it's kind of like love triangle-y esque, but not really, because the other guy's like super sweet and is like, well, you're somebody else's girl, I'm not gonna try anything, kind of thing. And it is, I wouldn't say that it follows like exactly the romance formula that you would think of, but it is very like romancey. There is
I
an
don't know.
AGA.
I was gonna say I need a break on love triangles. I never thought I'd say that, but I just went through a doozy of one. If you know, you know. Where I've had my heart broken.
So yeah, but it was, oh, George Bailey. So it was really good. It's my first Alexis Hall book, and it was like a total banger. I literally was laughing out loud at so many different points. It was so good. It was so funny. I loved it. And I also read the like sequel, like, sequel romance novels. Paris d'Alencore is About to Crumble, also by Alexis Hall. You've got Paris, who is, it's a new season of Big Expectations, and Paris has, hopped on to, he's been volunteered by his roommate to be a contestant on the show. And he is like, Paris is very like one of us anxiety rep, like to the extreme. And so, he does really well, and he's like, oh no, I just got lucky, blah, blah, blah. And then there's this other contestant who's like super sweet on him, and they go back and forth, and it's, you know, things happen. And it's also very cute. The love interest is Tarek, and he's like as golden retriever energy as you can get.
Oh.
He's adorable. I loved him. And I have two more. Ellie Haycock is Totally Normal by Gretchen Schreiber. It's her debut novel, and it follows Ellie, she is living with like a long-term illness that they kind of can't really identify. She's had it since birth. She's disabled, and has very strictly kept like her regular life and her hospital life very separate. And so like the people in her regular life don't really know everything that goes on with her hospital life. And so the walls kind of start coming down, and she's kind of got to figure out like, how do I figure all of these pieces together as a part of my life? And of course there's a boy. And you know, it's sweet, it's cute. There's really great representation for like disability. Ellie herself, I believe she has, I want to say it's like a disfigured arm, something. I can't remember exactly, or I don't think she described it like exactly what it was, but she has a visible disability. And so navigating kind of like that and living in an able-bodied world kind of thing.
Right. It's difficult.
And so that was cool. And the last thing I read was Heartless Hunter, which in the UK is called The Crimson Moth by Kristin Ciccarelli. And it's a witch and a witch hunter pretend like trying to fi figure out if the witch hunter is trying to figure out if she's this witch that he's been hunting, and she's like trying to get information from him to save other witches, and then feelings and things. And it's really good. I don't know how better to explain that.
One of the twins asked me for book recommendations yesterday or the day before. She was like, I'm in a mood to read a book. And I was like, Serpent and Dove.
Oh,
Serpent
love,
and Dove.
love.
We love a witch and a witch hunter.
We do. It's kind of like the best enemies to lovers, I feel like.
Yeah.
I really love it. So I'm excited for the next book, which comes out next year.
All right, do you have a fictional boyfriend this week?
I have two
All right.
because
I think I do
I'm a
too. I do
cheater.
too.
All right.
I do too, actually.
Well, my first fictional boyfriend, and I feel like you would absolutely agree, is Wyatt from the Infinity Cycle.
Yep.
We love Wyatt. We stan Wyatt. You know, he's apparently Tom Hiddleston in Mandy's mind. It's fine.
He is. You'll find that out later. Because of timey-wimey wibbly things.
But Wyatt, man, love him. I love him. He's just so
Yeah,
like he's just
sweet
always
baby
so,
angel.
even when like things are going bad, like he's just got
He's
such a
so
positive vibe.
understanding. Yeah, understanding, positive, kind-hearted.
He's comfort. He's just comfort. And I love him. And then my other fictional boyfriend this week is Jin from The Colliding Worlds of Mina Lee. In this book, one of the webtoons characters that she draws this boy who's supposed to be like the love interest of the main character in her webtoon. And she can't quite figure out, like, he looks really familiar to her. And once she enters like the webtoon's world, she realizes that he looks familiar to her because she drew her childhood best friend grown up. Her childhood best friend died when he was like six, so she never got to see him grow up. But
Oh.
her like her mom or her his mom had like, you know, one of those like a painting or something, but it put into the one of those programs where you age up like a picture. And so she had one of those done, and her Mina's mom was like, that's not great, let me fix it, because she was also an artist. And so she like, you know, rounded things out, made it more realistic. And Mina had seen that when she was younger, and she unconsciously like drew him into her webtoons. And so when she
No.
meets him in the webtoon world, she like is trying to figure out like, oh man, like why is he so familiar? And then when she figures it out, she's like, oh my God, this is my best friend. Like I never got to see him
Oh.
grow up. And he's exactly how I remember him. He's just as sweet. He's just as kind. He is just the sweetest human being. And, you know, and romance reasons, things happen, you
Yeah.
know? And I mean, it's YA, but like, it's so, like, he's just so sweet. And I
Yeah.
can't say anything about it, but like, the ending, Oh man.
it.
Yeah. So Wyatt and Jin, those are my fictional boyfriends. How about you?
First, I need to let anybody watching the YouTube know I was not laughing at you whenever you were telling me about the start of that. George Bailey was freaking out and being obnoxious, and one of the twins came out to try and catch him because she could see I was recording, and he thought she was playing a game. So he started running circles around her, and she was trying to she's doing like this and trying to silence him. And so I was just laughing at him because he's like, "You're not going to catch me." And then I get louder.
I
So if
love
you could see me laughing, I was not laughing at Karen. I was laughing at George Bailey being a psychopath. He's coming back. Oh no, that's Harry. So
my
I wasn't
God.
laughing at you. Jin
I
sounds
didn't even
great.
know.
Yeah.
Like when
You're
I'm
going to see
talking,
it in
I'm not, I
editing. You're going to
never
be
look
like,
at you.
it does look like you're laughing at
It's
me.
fine. It's fine. I am easy to laugh at. It's fine, guys.
Okay, mine are Wyatt Warwick because he's just got the sweetest heart, and I just
Love
my
him.
baby angel. I just want him to be happy.
Yeah.
I love him. He's a sweet little thing. And then I cannot. It would not be myself if I did not also say Hozier this week.
Fair. Fair.
We. I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the podcast, but my type was determined, and I know she's like. We don't really condone this series anymore, but like when I watched Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, and Gary Oldman walks out, long hair, skinny, covered in tattoos, and just like I was like, that is my type.
That's
And
fair.
so like.
That's, yeah.
To the point, like, where when my friends showed me pictures of the man who would now be my husband, and I saw that he had long, curly, dark brown hair, and he was like tall and skinny, I was just like, oh, Hozier. Like, so if you ever wondered what Mandy's type is, Hozier. Basically, it's what I go for.
Which is so funny because not Tom Hiddleston.
I mean, if he grew his hair out longer, Tom Hiddleston, he's got curly red hair, but. He just has never grown his hair out that long that I've seen, but best believe if he wanted to put the take a role with the long hair, he had longish hair when he was Loki. My
It feels
favorite Loki,
different
listen,
vibes.
when he's in the cell, they've got him they're not torturing him, but they're just keeping him there and he's screaming. That is peak
Yeah.
fine for
That,
Tom
yeah.
Hiddleston for me.
That's fair.
Fine. Fine. So, yeah.
And the arms in Loki, his arms in the Loki series.
When he falls on the ground and just does
Yep.
like this and catches the building, I was like,
The arm. Ooh. Talk about female gaze right there. Like
exactly the
peak.
Loki and the
Peak.
Win and Captain and the Winter Soldier. No, my cap. What's it called?
Captain
Falcon and the
America.
Winter Soldier.
I was
He's
like, wait.
Captain America,
I mean, he is
but
Captain America, but
Falcon and the Winter Soldier. They were made by women for women. Okay.
the peak female gaze. Like,
Yeah.
just
So.
that's fair.
That was a whole thing, but Hozier put
Yeah.
out his EP. We've been listening to it a lot in this house, and so I have to say he's a fictional boyfriend this week too. That
Fair.
man is like our Shakespeare, our version of Shakespeare. If you are a literary person, he's got like a whole thing about like songs that are about Dante's Inferno and Francesca and like man smart. Okay. Man can write.
Love it. Good choices. Good choices. That sound means we have an intruder alert.
This is an intruder alert that we manifested a year ago. Adam, I don't know if you
And
know this,
yeah, we did. We
but
have, you will probably know him from his heartbreaking books, The First to Die at the End, and They Both Die at the End. But we're here to talk about The Infinity Cycle. We've got Adam
yay.
Silvera, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I know we've been trying to make this happen for
It's been
you've
almost
been
a
very, very long,
year.
even
Yeah.
an hour.
It's so exciting to have you. We've been kind of like trying to keep it under wraps for as long as possible, and now
Yeah,
we're
this has
so
been a hard
excited.
secret to keep
Yes.
for
So we're really
sure.
excited to have you here.
Yay, thanks. I'm excited to talk about the series and all the other things that will just kind of like naturally pop up. And I have a very ADD brain, so prepare for me to
You
answer
are at
question that you
home.
did not ask.
Listen,
So.
we are
Incoherent for a
for a
reason.
reason.
Okay, that's
Yes.
why we're the incoherent fangirl.
So we normally start off asking our guests to like give an elevator pitch of the book, but this is book three in a series, so maybe an overarching
Yeah.
series elevator pitch.
That's how I've been kind of talking about it in general. But the Infinity Cycle, which begins with Infinity Sun, continues with Infinity Reaper, and concludes with Infinity Kings, is about two brothers in modern day New York and what happens when one brother gets magical powers from a phoenix and the other brother does not. And there's a bit of a tug of war that continues to, get pulled between the two brothers throughout the trilogy. And things go really bad, but it takes place in New York City, so it's more of a fantasy in the vein of like X-Men and with very like contemporary settings, lots of social media involved as well. So it is not like a Game of Thrones fantasy. It is very much a like a New York-based contemporary fantasy trilogy.
You actually like led into the first question I have written down. All of your books so far take place in the real world, but they have a little more. Can you talk about the balance of like keeping things accurate as far as like boroughs in New York City and making sure that you're not saying something that's wrong while also adding in Deathcast or Celestials and Phoenixes and all of that?
Yeah.
What's that like?
I mean, I definitely, when I create my alternate New Yorks, I do give myself license to change things around as needed. I think with like They Both Die at the End and the Infinity Cycle, it's like, look, when you have new factors, the speculative elements of my novels introduced into this world, like that, the existence of those things is enough to kind of like counter something very real that happened in our world, right? So like, let's say on Adams Street in New York City, there's an actual business called the Mandy Store, right? And then like, and right next to it is like the Karen shop. But now that Celestials exist and everything, and Celestials are for, for those who aren't familiar, they're people with born with natural powers in the Infinity Cycle, because they exist. They've now done something that has like created a completely different business in its place. So the Karen shop doesn't exist and the Mandy store doesn't exist, and there's now like a Celestial wardrobe store instead, So I can do that. It was trickier for something like The First to Die at the End, where Deathcast, is introduced for the first time in that novel. So I really was doing my best to respect everything that happened in the actual timeline of our world
Right.
prior to that novel, right? So I wasn't
Right.
changing like the price of a Metro card around that time, or what businesses did exist, or a store's hours back then. Like, I was doing all the research for all that stuff, but I have certainly a lot more fun having to do less research and more just creating. And that was one of the beautiful parts about the Infinity Cycle, especially because it's like, I love like observing the magical world through the lens of social media, right? And one of the brothers, Brighton, he is a very like big kind of like social media addict and has his own platform that covers a lot of like magical events. And and then you have like his brother Emil, who becomes our reluctant hero with the Phoenix powers, kind of like casually scrolling about Instagram, looking at, a feed of like phoenixes flying around and everything, and just like really loving stuff like that. So, and then creating just different businesses that, revolve around these things, both in the Infinity Cycle and in Deathcast, like phone apps, like the Last Friend app, all these things. So I have so much fun with the creation of these things, but while making sure everything does still feel very grounded and familiar for those who are, want to like exit the subway and look up at the sky and get so invested in the world that they're going to wonder if they are about to watch a phoenix fly by.
Yeah, I
I
love
love
that.
it. You do a killer job of it,
Yeah. It does,
honestly.
it really does like kind of jump off the page, like, oh, I could go to New York and this could be just life.
Yeah.
So I love that. So you've talked a lot about kind of the inspiration behind the Infinity Cycle, the gap that you saw in media that you wanted to fill. But was there anything specific that kind of led you to this specific story? Because at least to me, it feels like it's kind of a breath of fresh air in the superhero genre.
Yeah, so it's funny. I think, I mean, one of the, I mean, I've been working through different incarnations of the story since I was like 19 years old, and I'm like turning 34 in June of this year. And I Like the Celestials kind of existed back then in that version, but it was very different. It was more like Zodiac based. And so that's why, like, the Celestials in this world, like, we understand that, like, they in the Infinity Cycle, that they get their powers, like, from the stars and the sky and all these things. And we don't have, like, a ton of information as to, like, why that is. It's just sort of a natural phenomenon that's happened. But I, in their world, at least, but then, I've always been obsessed with phoenixes, like since I was a kid. A lot of that started with the Phoenix Saga, Dark Phoenix Saga arc in X-Men, which I'm a gigantic fan of. And I'm watching X-Men 97. I'm obsessed. I'm rewatching the original X-Men animated series. I'm obsessed. And, but I got a tattoo of a phoenix, which I can show on the YouTube, but not on the podcast. That I got when I was 19 years old, and as a promise myself to one day write like a Phoenix series. And then, so all that was kind of in mind. And then, like, a few years later, I started thinking about life sentences that we assign, in court and such that. And I started thinking, I was like, I was taking things very literally. You hear a judge like issue like, oh, you're given 4 life sentences. And I'm like, okay, but we have like the one life, right? And
Yeah,
then
what
I
does
started
that
thinking,
mean?
well, what if your crimes and your life sentences do pass over through reincarnation? And like that's kind of, and I that got paired with the idea of phoenixes, where it's like, okay, so when you are reborn, you're still going to be paying for like the sins of your past and everything. And for Emil, our chosen one, who is, this incarnate of two really great forces that have existed before him. One is an alchemist named Kaon, who is responsible for creating the specters, who are in this world people who get their magical powers from magical creatures. And then you have Batista, who was born after Kaon, who is basically like the creator of the Spellwalkers, who essentially serve as like our X-Men in this world. And so Emil really has to figure out who he's going to be in this life, when he comes from a legacy of, an alchemist who started this whole global wide mess, and a hero who was treated never treated anything more than like a vigilante, essentially, and now trying to protect like the those secrets as well, so that like those the reputations of those respective people aren't just like pinned on him.
Very nice. Okay, there are quite a few love triangles and tragedies in this series. Did you know going in exactly where everyone was going to land, or did your characters like surprise you while you're writing and you're like, I didn't want you to do this, but you're
I mean,
doing it?
there were some really great surprises. I think, what I wanted to happen for the surviving characters, for the most part, did happen. And some of them, I think all of them, in some, obviously some variation, they all had like a really notable, but like really awesome and Adam approved alterations. And but the love triangle between Emil and the shapeshifter Ness, and this Phoenix Guardian, aka a Halo Knight, as they're called in the book, Wyatt Warwick, that was new to me. That was not planned when I was planning the original trilogy. And that was because when I was publishing book one, there were a lot of people who were like wanting more romance and more of a love story from the series, which I had always planned like a slow burn love story. And it was very much like they're Emil's fighting a war. Like, he's not like
Right.
have time for dates. Like, he's so stressed. He's such a highly anxious hero, which, is how I think if I was given the powers and put under the pressure that he was, especially at that age, that's how I think that I would have operated as well. So I really use that as like as a compass for Emil's decisions throughout the series. But in book two, there's a reason why like Emil and Ness like aren't super close, and I won't spoil why that is. And but then I was like, oh man, if people wanted more romance from book one, which like half of the characters actually in the same proximity, right? I was like, ooh, for book two, like you're really like, and unless yearning from a distance is like your thing, like you're gonna be really bummed, right? So I created the character of Wyatt. And it's funny, I was thinking about this the other day, because there was, Emil talks about in book one this boy named Nicholas, who is someone who he had a crush on in high school, who was a celestial. And I always thought that Nicholas was going to make an appearance throughout the trilogy, like physically. Some text messages are exchanged and stuff like that, but he's not a major role by far. Like, if you were adapting this into a movie or something, you would not talk about Nicholas. He's such a
He'd
nobody
be
character
cut. Yeah.
in that sense, right? But I always did think that there was a chance that he was going to come back, but I really started thinking that, like, for the sake of a love triangle, you want each figure to represent something that that main character wants, right? And I was like, well, what's something that like would really speak to Emil? And for Emil, it was like, he understands that, like, no matter how he gets his way out of the infinity cycle, he's no longer going to be able to go back to his regular life, right? Like, even if he binds his powers like he wants to, that's his objective throughout the first book. Like, he knows that, like, he will forever be known as the Infinity Son. People, he just can't go into hiding. So he was like, oh, very much like, oh, maybe I can become like a guardian for Phoenixes. And then enter Wyatt, who is that, and is like showing him, opening that door for him if he so seeks it. And I had so much fun for that. And for a character that, like, I had not planned on, I felt for Wyatt so deeply. And I think, and you have to, right? Because you already have so many people who Ness has one book up on this person, right? Already rooting for Emil and Ness, but like, I knew, like, as a writer, if I close this trilogy and no one was rooting for Emil and Wyatt to be a thing, then I failed at the love triangle. And so you really have to, like, make sure that, like, the attraction and the magnetism between the two characters is clear. And so I was like, oh my God, like, everyone was like, book two is so much more romantic than book one. And yeah, so that led to some decisions, and I had to make some choices there. But I had not planned on that love triangle, and I hadn't planned on the other love triangle that gets introduced in the third book either, from Maribel's perspective. But that's a whole other story.
Well, speaking of your characters, you have so there are four narrators throughout the series, and each of them to me felt like they had a very distinct voice. Was there anything that you had to kind of do to get yourself into each of their headspaces to kind of write? Did you write each character in like chunks, or did you do it more chronologically? How did that process go?
Oh yeah, so I love this because, first of all, I will never do that again. I will never write a book, especially a series. I might write a book. I will never write a series again where there's like four first person narrators, right? Like, in my They Both Die at the End novels, I always have two first person narrators, and then I like sprinkle in some like third person interstitials and everything. And but the story is very much led by like those two first person POV narrators for the Infinity Cycle. Like, I was going back and forth. I was like, is this story just Emil's POV? Is it Emil and Brighton's POV? Is it Maribel and Ness? And then I started like, is it third person? Is it first person? I went through so many different versions of this, right? And it was always, this is the thing, and this is like a big message for writers too, because when you are like working through the crafting of a story like that, and you're trying to figure out what is going to be the best vehicle for your story in terms of like how many narrators, who's the narrator, what tense you're telling, it's so hard to be reading other books at that time. So like, I remember reading certain books, and then I'd be writing the Infinity Cycle in third person past, and then I would go pick up a book that's first person present, single narrator, and I'm like, oh, okay, now I no longer want to do ensemble. And then it's like, I'd be doing my like first person thing, and I'm like, well, now it's harder for me to tell this story. So now I need to add this other POV. And then it's like, and then it grows into an ensemble again, right? And then you're watching bestseller lists, and you're like, who's topping it this week, this month? And it's like, well, that book's in third person past, so that must mean that readers like third person past. And it's like, no, like there's examples for what's successful for absolutely every kind of story, right? So you just really have to do what's best for you. And for me, that was telling an ensemble story with four POVs, knowing that like every character represented a different story, right? Like, I mean, Emil and Brighton are, twin brothers who have grown up in the same home, but are very different. Like, couldn't be more different, and then obviously their paths like really start diverging throughout the trilogy. And then you have Maribel, who is, our legacy hero. She was raised by, two of the most like famous heroes in the world. And then you have Ness, who is part of the enemy gang, the Bloodcasters. And so like, from Maribel having that experience of having grown up and all that, that's a different POV than Emile and Brighton, who have observed it from a distance, but were not really like, didn't have powers or anything, right? And then you have Naz, who also didn't grow up with powers, but like has been in the game a little bit longer than Emile and Brighton have. And he's connected to the enemy gang, which provides a window that we wouldn't otherwise have. So they all served a function. At one point, when I was writing Infinity Sun, I'd written a ton of Nest chapters, but most of them featured him and Emile. So I ended up cutting out all those chapters. I rewrote them from Emile's perspective, and I was like, I don't think Nest needs a POV. And then I was like, actually, no. Let me get Nest's POV, but let me get it from scenes where we wouldn't have Emile there as well. And because also with Nest, you're supposed to be wondering, like, is this guy double crossing Emile? Is he triple cross, like, what's the deal with him? He's a shapeshifter. Like, how much of him do we really trust? So I was like, you know, if we don't have his POV, it's a lot harder, right?
Right.
You know, so it was, but it was trickier. But and I got it all in a way where it was like I was able to like conceal his identity from the reader so that we don't know it until Emil knows it and all that stuff. And you get really, you figure out the craftings for that. But to make sure that I had all their voices down and everything, that took a while for sure. But I, before every writing session, I always listen to white noise when I write. Every character had their own element. And so Emil, I would listen to kind of like crackling, like fire and wood and stuff like that. Maribel, because she flies, I would listen to a lot of like wind sounds and wind storms and everything. Ness was a lot of ocean sounds, very like, you know, fluid and like he is. And Brighton was a lot of just like kind of like general nature noises. And so I would listen, I would get that. And your body like picks up on that stuff, right? It puts you back in those places. And what was also really critical was going back and rereading a couple chapters from each character's POV before starting that writing session, just to like pick up on like what are how they flow like with a sentence, what are their dialogue things and everything. And yeah, so I mean it was I love a challenge. I have now achieved it. I don't need to do it again. But I it's absolutely how that story needed to be told.
For sure.
Agreed. Agreed.
Okay, this is a genuine question because it means that you're doing something right because your work makes people feel so deeply. But what is it like to traumatize us so much? Like,
Yeah, but it's exactly what you just said, right? Like it means I'm
you're
doing
doing it right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when people it's so funny. The reception for the series is so funny to me because like, you know, people hate Brighton. Like
I don't, though.
I don't either. I love Brighton. Like
Yeah.
I feel for him, and especially with Infinity Reaper, like you understand, like, yeah, he was more obnoxious, but also like you're let in more on like where his trauma started and why, you know, it's just but like with the trauma of like witnessing his father's death and everything, a very like violent, gruesome death, and he was very alone when it happened. And you know, of course he would be scared of death, and of course he would want to pursue immortality, right? Because like witness death of like his favorite parent, you know? And
In such a horrific way.
yeah, and then it's like, but you know, but like the reviews for this are like Brighton is the worst character ever. I get telling things when people
No.
and they're just like, they're like, he is so horrible. I just want to skip his chapters. I'm like, you want to understand the story, but like,
No.
and you know, and it's like, but the thing is, like, my point being, I always want to create real characters, right? I think sometimes, like, we've gotten used to this sort of like culture almost of like wanting to be seduced by our villains and everything. And I'm like, I don't want Brighton to be a sexy villain. Like, I want him to feel very realistic, right? Like, I mean, this is someone who is like cracking by the day. And you know, and it just I love their dynamic so much between Emil and Brighton. Like I love that Emil is this reluctant chosen one who wants to do the right thing, but like isn't born to be like a hero who like does the hard stuff, right? And then you have Brighton, who's very much like powerless, but it's like put me in the ring, like I can do this, like I
I
can
can
do
do it. I want
this.
to.
Like fine, like you know, and it's like if he could just like. If Emil could just pass on his powers to Brighton, he would do that, right? Because like Brighton is like a little more hardened to do so and everything, right? So, but you know, I just like I wanted to create very real people. And I love, right? He's one of my favorite characters I've ever written, right?
Yeah.
Like the darkest character I've ever written, but I love him so much. And but even when people are like, oh, he's terrible, I'm like, at the end of the day, you're also like, you're not supposed to be rooting for him.
No.
Love him or hate him, like you shouldn't be rooting for Brighton to win the war.
No. Well, and they're overlooking, like, it's not just the death of his father. And I don't want to give a spoiler, but he and Emil find out something that's very upsetting, mostly for Emil, but Brighton's been lied to too. And that's traumatic for him too. That's
Absolutely, yeah. And
a
that's
trauma.
early days. And then it's just, and then like there's all the dynamics that shift and the way that like Brighton is treated by the heroes versus the way Emil is treated as the one who actually is being seen as like, their savior and everything. And so I mean, I love that dynamic so much. But at the end of the day, whether it's the Infinity Cycle, whether it's they both die at the end, whether it's anything I do, like anytime someone is like, oh my God, this broke my heart, I'm like, great, I created real characters because like my job is to tell stories. And if you're closing them, you have no reaction. Even people who hate Brighton, I'm like, you at least have a reaction, right?
I made you
Like
feel.
I win. Like when you,
Yeah.
so when you're kind of like, man, like I'm never gonna think about that again. Like, and the amount of messages I get from people who are like, oh my God, I still tear up when I think about they both die at the end. I still tear up when I think about it's been 3 days, I haven't stopped crying. It's been a week, I haven't stopped crying. And just like for me, like I can't fathom that. Like I'm like, that's wild to me. It's like they're grieving a real person, and that means I created someone real.
So, speaking of characters, we have a question that we ask all of our guests, and this is the moment where, like, everything you've ever consumed is going to leave your brain. But we have a segment on the podcast, which we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, where we kind of pick a character that we really vibed with that we read or watched that week. That's just
Doesn't
kind
have
of
to be a
that's our brain.
boyfriend.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a
Prudencia was my
boyfriend.
fictional bestie recently. Wyatt's my fictional boyfriend this week.
Yeah.
So,
Okay, love it.
yeah.
And it doesn't have to be from like anything you've written, just kind of anything throughout media that you've consumed. Like, who is somebody that you would like to introduce the world to?
I am going okay, so obviously when I say like official boyfriend, like I'm a grown man, so like I'm not like saying like, oh, I wanna be with this teenager, right? And in fact, I'm gonna be very specific. I'm gonna say and Nicola Yoon's The Sun Is Also a Star. There's this boy Daniel who's one of the protagonists. I'm saying Daniel from the epilogue, where we get a flash forward. But I love that book so much. I love the journey, and he's not gay, but it's fine. Like,
That's
actual
okay.
crush. But
Yeah.
yeah. But I think about that book so often, and it's funny because it has a very similar structure to They Both Die at the End. Nikki's one of my best friends, and like, we didn't know that we were both doing this simultaneously. And like where you have like two narrators, first person, one day love story that takes place in New York, and interstitial POVs from the people they interact with along the way. Like it's wild. Like her book published a year before mine, and like mine had been fully written and stuff, obviously at that point too, just the way publishing works. And like I actually wrote mine before she wrote The Sun Is Also a Star, because I wrote mine when I was like 4 years before. But it still was like, it's one of my best friends, but she doesn't really talk about what she's working on when she's working on it.
Yeah.
But like that character, like I mean, I read everything, her debut novel, in like one sitting, and I'm such a slow reader. It's also a super short book, and it's you fly by. It's also just so good, and but the love story between like Maddie and Ollie is just, it's amazing. But then like Natasha and Daniel, like they're my like I ride or die for them. I mean, I guess I die for them. And it's yeah, I mean that book published in 2016, I still think about it all the time. And
Awesome.
I
so
love
yeah, and there was
that.
obviously a movie, but like the movie's like really fun. The book is so much more layered, and things that like they just did not adapt into the movie. So yeah.
I
I love
love
it.
that.
And yeah, we're not creeping after Wyatt as like
No, we
grown ass
listen,
women either,
we
but it's just like I love his essence. I
Well,
love
and
like his
also in
spirit.
our minds, when we're reading, everybody is our age. Like, I
Oh
know
yeah.
they're teenagers, but
Listen,
like they're really
if you
30s.
give anybody a British accent, it's Tom Hiddleston in my head. Like,
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. And
I
Tom
can't
Hiddleston.
fix it.
Yeah, I was like, I wonder who, like, if, for me, it's maybe more like Andrew Garfield. But like, that's like not
Ooh, that's a good
for
one.
Wyatt.
Yes.
I mean, I've had Andrew Garfield's like been my celebrity crush for like well over 10 years. Like before
Yeah.
like crush on him. But same for Michael B. Jordan, but like he's not British.
Oh, yeah.
So
Yeah.
yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah.
God.
Oh, I was like,
How do you
I like
not?
was into Michael B. Jordan during this movie he did, Chronicle, which I would also say if you like that movie, you would be a fan of the Infinity Cycle, especially like Brighton's arc in it. And because it is very much like, camcorder, three guys find out they kind of like tap into like some rock or whatever, and they get powers, and then they start using the prank, and then things go really bad one night or whatever. And then it turns like a big like showdown between like two, Michael B. Jordan's in it. I won't spoil the movie, but like he's awesome. I remember thinking back then, I was like, oh my God, this guy is like gorgeous. And then Black Panther happens, and all of a sudden everybody's like all on top of him. I was like, oh, you guys are so fake. Like I have been like definitely like a Michael
I've
Jordan hipster, but like I've loved him since Chronicle, him and Dane DeHaan, same movie.
been a real one.
But yeah, that's
Oh,
anyway,
man.
Andrew Garfield though, accent, all that.
Yes, every
Love.
single bit of it. I'm
Yes.
happily married, but I always say if anything untimely happens, my next husband's English. Like I
Yeah.
can't deal with any more Americans. My husband's wonderful, but I can't deal with any more Americans.
Well, send your new husband's brother my way.
Okay, deal.
Yeah.
I want in on this too, guys.
Okay,
Hello. We have they have to have multiple siblings, okay?
Yeah.
Love it.
Okay, we're one more question and then we'll let you go. We want to know what you're reading. We know we love your books. We love recommending your books. We love traumatizing people with the pain of your books. What do you recommend that people read, or what are you reading now, or
That's funny, and I'm gonna another plug for Nicola Yoon, but I just got her adult novel, One of Our Kind, and it's kind of like its pitch is like Get Out meets The Stepford Wives, and it follows
ooh.
this Black couple who move into a kind of like quote unquote Black utopia in California, where it's just like a town with like only Black people, and something sinister starts happening like throughout the town and everything. And it's like I'm only like a couple chapters in, and I just started a couple days ago, but like it's so good. I'm also reading, it's funny, I actually have these books right next to me. I did not notice. And a picture of my dog.
It's on my notes that you have to tell Taz I love him.
I
Yes.
will happily.
Give him big kisses for me because I do love him a lot.
Yes,
Yes.
he's a very good boy. And then Robbie Couch, Another First Chance, and which is like, and I love Robbie. I love his books. His book, If I See You Again Tomorrow, it was like published last year. It's a gay time loop novel. I'm like obsessed with it. And Another First Chance is another kind of like queer speculative novel. And yeah, like I'm only a couple chapters into that one too, and I've told Robbie to not spoil anything for me, like because I know there's like a couple of really big twists in it, and I was like, I want to see if I can get it. Like I love the challenge of like figuring out a twist, and I was wrong about all the twists in If I See You Again Tomorrow, so I'm excited to see if I come closer this time now that I'm a little bit more familiar with like Robbie's like speculative writing style. But yeah, this one is I mean, it's just so well written, and it's also his first time doing like dual POV, and he's doing such an amazing job so far. But yeah, those are the two books I'm
We're
reading.
big fans. We're big
Right.
fans of both of theirs over here.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so this is the part where before we let you go, we do have to let you know that unfortunately for you, now that you've been on the podcast, you're actually legally obligated to come back for all future book releases.
Okay.
It
Moving the
was in the
tiny, tiny
tiny
print, and we made
fine
it in
print.
white, like so you would
Yeah.
Oh,
skim
so it
over it.
blends in against the white sheet.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
I mean,
It's technically
it's your own
there, just
fault
not
for not.
visibly there.
Yeah, it's your own
exactly.
fault for not selecting all to see everything, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's more my assistant's fault. So
Hey, there
I'm
we
having to
go.
honor the contract. If you guys understand, you may have just put her out of her job.
Oh, no. We
No.
love
Wait, we love her
her.
too.
No,
Wait,
that's
we
the fine
love her.
print. If that's what the fine print says. No, she can keep her job, and I will happily make another appearance.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Before
This is
you
so
leave,
exciting.
can you give us kind of talk about what's coming next? We know TBD 3 is down the pipeline. If you there's anything you can talk about that or anything else you're working on.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm working on TBD 3, aka They Both Die at the End Number 3. It was originally set to publish this fall. It is not happening this fall. Now it's happening early next year. And That's just because it's like, you know, I mean, I was going through some personal stuff and I'm making some like really big life changes. Then I was on book tour and all this stuff. So like, you know, it's all for like really good, necessary reasons. And you know, I just want to make sure it's the best book possible. It's it that's They Both Die 3 is gonna be my 10th published novel, publishing in 2025, which marks a decade of publishing books for me. And so that feels like really, really wild. And you know, we have some like some other fun They Both Die at the End related announcements regarding the book series that will be going out at some point later this year. And like that world is growing, which I'm very excited about and very grateful to all the readers who supported They Both Die. You know, when it went mega viral in 2020, and it has allowed me, it's my favorite universe that I've created, you know, and it's the one that like I really do see so much potential for, you know, playing in that world and breaking more hearts and telling stories. And so yeah, I'm working on that, and that's, I mean, that's about it right now. I have a couple ideas for, I maybe like two or three adult book ideas that I've been sitting on for a while. One's a little more fleshed out. I mean, two are pretty, you know, are as fleshed out as they can be at this stage right now. And then another one is kind of starting to like, you know, poke its head in a little bit. But, you know, right now I think the focus is on like the They Both Die at the End series. Like I'm hoping after, you know, this last delay that's allowing me to publish it next year, that, you know, you can count on a They Both Die at the End book basically like year after year now. Versus like the, you know, They Both Die at the End published in 2017. A prequel came out 5 years later, and now it's gonna be like 2.5 years between since the prequel. So, you know, not really. And then after that it'll be like another one a year, a year, a year. So I'm, yeah, it's all good. But They Both Die at the End, They Both Die at the End 3, excuse me, is a romantic thriller. It takes place 10 years after the events of the prequel, so it takes place in 2020, but it's not like a COVID pandemic novel, do not worry. And you know, the main characters for that book are two young boys who you meet in the prequel, the first die at the end. Their names are Paz and Alano. Paz has a, you know, as a big, is part of like the a subplot thread that happens in the prequel. And then Alano is the son of the Death Cast creator. And you know, these boys meet for the first time 10 years later after some crazy stuff is happening in that book. It's very different than They Both Die at the End. And I can tell you right now that it is not a 24-hour love story. Like it is it takes place over the course of a couple weeks, and it's very different. There's a lot of like, you know, multimedia elements to it. There's you know, excerpts from Orion Pagan's novel that we you know talk about in the prequel that he always wanted to write. There's like audition screenplay sides that like, you know, Paz used when he booked the, you know, his role for the Scorpius Hawthorne movie. There's excerpts from the Death Cast creators' memoir that he kind of talks about in the prequel as well. There's like news articles, there's a hand-drawn map, there's all this stuff. Like it's very cool. It's gonna be packed with like a lot of cool elements. So yeah, I'm very, it's like it's shaping up to be my favorite thing that I've done.
I
So
cannot
I'm
wait.
so
yeah,
excited.
can't wait. This is
but
exciting.
it's very deeply personal. And also like it's my first book, to give you a sense, it's my first book that I'm ever putting a author's note with like content warnings for it, because it is like it's very personal, and I don't intend on, you know, shying away from very raw matters such as this, things that I've been open about, you know, on my own social media feeds and everything. But you know, yeah, I'm excited for this book to find the readers that it needs to find. But it's yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun, but also very heartbreaking. Oh
I
yeah.
cannot wait to be broken again. I cannot wait
Yeah.
to be hurt again.
There
I'm ready.
nothing hurts like an Adam Silvera book.
No.
Like it's all the
I
right
love
ways.
that. I love that quote.
it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for
Thank
hanging
you
out with us.
so
It has been
much. We're
so
so
much fun.
excited.
We have
Thank you.
been looking forward to this for so long, and we're so glad we finally got to do
Same. Thank you so much for putting up with
it.
every delay on the planet, and
No,
I'm excited to do
absolutely.
this again after
Yes.
They Both
Yes.
Die 3 publishes.
Yes, absolutely. We will like We would have taken the day off just to make sure
Oh
this
yeah.
worked, Adam. Like,
Yeah, I'll take the
whenever
day off
you need,
work.
we'll make it
Whenever.
work.
You want to
Whenever.
talk at 3 a.m., I'm down.
Yes.
It's fine. We're ready. We're ready.
I'm gonna hold you to it. I'm gonna tell my assistant, I was like, schedule them for 3 a.m. I wanna call their bluff. Like,
Fine.
bet.
Listen, I will be there.
We'll be there.
Awesome. We'll do like a tired 3 a.m. session
It'll
and
be
yeah,
very
lots of
tired.
caffeine.
And
Yep.
awful.
Pajamas. We'll
All
all
right,
be in pajamas.
everybody.
It'll be fine.
Thank you so
Everybody, go get the whole
the Infinity
trilogy.
Cycle. They are so shiny,
And
guys.
they are so, yeah, it's truly the
Beautiful. I love
shiniest
them.
books in the planet, like on the planet. I love it.
They're all out now, so you don't have to wait after that cliffhanger. You can breeze through all three of them, which I did do like last week, and it was the best thing ever.
Yay.
So everybody go pick up the Infinity Cycle. You've got Infinity Sun, Infinity Reaper, and Infinity Kings. They're all out now. While you're at it, you can pick up the Deathcast books because they're also excellent. And Adam has other
What if
books
it's
too.
us?
Yeah, like he's
History's
got
All You Left
What
Me.
if it's us duology? History's All You Left Me, More Happy Than Not, and
Get
yeah.
all of them.
Get
Get all
them
of them. You know you
all.
want them. We've never steered you wrong, and it's Adam
Nope.
Silvera. Like you can't go wrong with Adam Silvera. That's a fact.
Thank you so
Thank
much,
you.
Adam. We'll talk to
We'll
you
talk
soon.
soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye. Oh my
Oh
God.
my God.
Is that real?
That
Was that
was
real?
insane. I feel like that was like possibly our best interview ever.
Yeah,
Like
and like
we were so prepared. We had such good questions, and I feel like
I
we
was
were.
so nervous, but then it's like as soon as you get around him, like because I've met him at Y'all
Yeah.
Fest a couple of times, and like
He's
the
just got
situation,
the
like him being
vibes.
so nice to my niece every time I've met him has been like, love that man. I'm gonna ride hard for him forever, just on how
Yeah.
cool he is with her. But he's got such a presence. Like as soon as you're with him, you're like, oh, I'm just talking to my bestie. Like
Yeah.
it's not.
It's, like
Like he's a globally known author
he's
that
an
like,
internationally best-selling
yeah.
author, and he also is just so down to earth and
He's
so
so chill.
chill.
I love him.
And yeah,
We love
he
you, Adam.
puts you at
I'm
ease immediately just with his presence. So,
gonna send his
yeah.
assistant an edible arrangement.
Right?
Sorry we lost your job.
She is, listen, she put up with so many unhinged emails from me when we first started trying to book things. So it's like she deserves the world. We love her.
We talked to Adam Silvera.
Oh my God. A year in the making, and it's here. It's finally here.
Was
And
worth the wait.
so good. It was so good. I love him so much.
Can't wait for the next one.
Me too. My God, I'm so excited. Okay. Do we have any announcements? We're not
I don't
interviewing
think
anybody
so. When
next
we're not doing
week.
an interview next week.
So we don't have an interview next week, but we will probably
We'll
have a
have a quick
fangirl
little fangirl freestyle, take it back to
freestyle.
our roots.
Our roots. Yeah. And now it's time for a spiel. Yes?
Yeah, let's spiel it out.
All right, friends. If you enjoyed this episode, and why wouldn't you? We had Adam Silvera on
Oh
the
my God. I'm looking at
podcast.
my notes going down to our coupon codes, and my announcement still says Adam Silvera,
I love it.
bitches.
Please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. You can also follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. You can visit our website, theincoherentfangirl.com, which houses all of our episodes as well as our blog. So you can listen and then read things. We are multi-purpose here.
I have not written a blog in so long. I really need to get back on that.
I know, I'm so behind.
I haven't read an arc in a while, though. It's been like.
I have read multiple arcs that I haven't written about, and then I have a lot of arcs that I still have to read. I have a lot going
Yeah.
on, but there's plenty for you to read for now, okay? So
Yes.
like there's an abundance. If you are interested in early access to podcast episodes, full video episodes, exclusive bonus content, and early announcements, you can subscribe to our Patreon, theincoherentfangirl.com/patreon. There are multiple tiers, so you can check it out and see what works best for you. And speaking of which, you can also do some shopping with us. Go to theincoherentfangirl.com/shop. We've got lots of cute merch that this one over here designed. She's
This
wearing
one, I this
one.
was a combo effort. I did the front and Karen, I
That's
can't
true, I
breathe.
did. That was
Karen
a
did
combo
the
effort.
back. I held it up
So
when I got it, and my husband and my nieces were like, wait, that's really cool
oh yeah, I know. It is really cool.
though.
So head to the merch shop and do some shopping because there's some super cute stuff there. And if you have any comments, questions, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that were pretty, we will accept all of those in our inbox. Send us an email at theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. We love hearing from y'all.
Yay, skittish
And
words.
yes, please. And speaking of words, one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you are listening to us on. We love all the words. So please do that. She is at Mandy Perv on all things.
She's at Miss Made in China on all the things.
And once you have followed us on social media and you followed the podcast on social media, you can head on over and do some self-care and visit our internet besties. First stop is herecomesthenerd.com, where you can use code FANGIRL to get 20% off your first order.
Then you're going to head over to onceuponabookclub.com. You can get some bookish boxes and goodies. We have two codes that you can use. Pick one. We don't really care which one you use. They don't stack. I almost said they don't snack. I might be hungry. They don't stack, but we love you no matter which one you use. So you can use either code MANDY10 or KAREN10 for 10% off. Just make sure you spell Karen right, or you're getting no percent off and
And the
judging
stinker.
from us.
Yes.
And from George Bailey.
He is very judgmental, you guys. Yeah. And once you have done that, you're going to head over to entrancingelixirs.com and use code FANGIRLT to get 10% off your order. But remember, unlike Karen, there is no I in FANGIRL. It's FANGRLTEA. And also, shout out to our bestie Sam. She had her baby, and he's so
We love that
cute.
little baby. He's very
Yes.
cute.
Yes, he's so cute. So if you have a moment, go wish her congratulations over on social media at Entrancing Elixirs.
Then you're going to head over to amberdlewis.com. A little birdie might have shown me on social media that ARC signups are open. So for her next book, In Between Fate and Failure, you're going to want to sign up for her newsletter, join her Patreon to get exclusive first looks and bonus stories and art and all the things. If you use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off your purchase. Buy one or five of everything.
Yep, make sure you head to amberdlewis.com. And once you have finished supporting us and you finish supporting the internet besties, it is time to support the show husband, who we are fans of here most of
Yeah,
the
we like the show
time.
husband. All right, he's okay. I don't know if they're going to have an episode next week or not. They've been filming, so they've had to take a mini break on the podcast for filming actual
Big
TV
reasons.
episode reasons. Maybe not episodes that you can view. We don't know if it's going to be TV or if it's going to be more long format, but visual video episodes of Searchers. So you want to head to searchersbelieve.com slash shop and use code FANGIRL10 to get 10% off. Follow at Searchers Believe on all the things and at the Paranormal Mind on all the things. You can go listen to their backlog. Yours truly makes an appearance in quite a few. I did all of their merch. It's available. So Fangirl 10 will get you 10% off there as well.
Yay. And that was an epic
That's
episode of the
the
Incoherent Fangirl.
Thank you for listening so that we
Listening.
can do these crazy things.
Oh my gosh, so freaking exciting. We love y'all so
We love
much.
you.
Bye.
Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.